Gut microbiomes are something most people rarely think about or focus on for their brain health. Learn why a healthy gut is integral to your brain and what to do about it.
I am Dr. Shabnam Das Kar. I'm a functional medicine doctor and certified tiny habits coach. I teach people how to improve their focus, get rid of brain fog, and reduce their risk of dementia.
And I'm Andrea Spiros. I'm a behavior design consultant and professional speaker. I work with organizations to harness the power of high-performance habits to increase engagement, resilience, and well-being. And today, we are joined with Luca Cuccia. He is the founder and CEO of Injoy, an innovative health tech startup on a mission to democratize gut healthcare, a mission that is deeply personal to him. He has a degree in pharmacology and therapeutics, and his company Injoy is revolutionizing gut health by harnessing the power of cutting-edge AI and microbiome science. Welcome, Luca. Nice to have you here.
Thanks so much. Thank you for having me.
So you decided on a career focused on health at a very early age. Tell us more about that.
Yeah, of course. Happy to. So I think at a very high level, my journey has always been towards health. When I was very young, I was diagnosed with cancer, and that was really my first experience receiving care on a consistent basis, you know, with chemotherapy and even into remission. I had to go, you know, every day, every week, every month, every other month, and so on. So it got me very familiar with what it's like to have to be in a hospital consistently, what it means to have a caregiver that's looking after you beyond just when the moments that you're in front of them, but also considering your experience outside of the hospital, questions you might have, anxieties you might have. And that goes for both myself and my family, being that I was at such a young age. And that's really where a lot of the inspiration, you know, as cliche as it might sound, came to pursue a career in helping people. Witnessing also within my family, a lot of people that have inflammatory bowel disease and GI issues. It's been part of my life, really, as long as I can remember, understanding that gut health is something that's extremely important, whether it be at a day-to-day basis or one-off basis to someone who's dealing with it chronically every single day. And it really wasn't until I experienced my own bout of inflammation where, you know, to put it short, I was essentially feeling like my body was on fire for several months. I had itching, redness. I couldn't even touch my arm without it becoming red and inflamed. You know, met with doctors and dietitians and dermatologists. Found myself trying everything under the sun, whether it be as extreme as bleach baths and peroxide washes and multiple doses of allergy medication a day, and just feeling, you know, at a loss after having tried everything. It made me realize that these experiences with inflammation, these experiences with intestinal health, aren't isolated incidents. And even those who don't have a formal diagnosis, it's still something that can have a severe impact on people's lives. Although not everyone will have such intense experiences, I think gut health is something that everyone has had a brush with, whether it be some type of a stomach bug, bloating, abdominal pain, or a reaction. Everybody knows what it feels like to have some type of intestinal discomfort. And most people don't talk about it. And that's really where this interest and this need for helping people feel empowered against these unspoken battles comes from, and really just share this notion that gut health doesn't live in isolation. It's attached to many different areas of our health and overall well-being.
You've touched on a lot of really important issues. No one likes to talk about their gut. It's, I think they sooner talk about how much they make each year
right.
than to talk about any intestinal issues. I want to highlight for our listeners, because people can put two and two and say like, oh, I'm bloated. That's a gut issue. Oh, I have some other type of bowel distress and bathroom distress. And so I understand that's an issue, but you highlighted that you had skin issues so severe and saw multitude of doctors in the specialty areas with very little effect, as I'm guessing. And how did you make that connection that your issues? So I have two questions. One, how did you make that connection? And then what should other people look for so that they know, well, that their gut is healthy?
Yeah, certainly. So my background is in science. So, growing up, I worked on an ambulance in emergency medical services. I volunteered in hospitals. I went to school for pharmacology. I worked in a lab, and then now kind of at the point of starting my own company in the space. I'm a naturally pretty analytical person. And on top of that, I grew up in a house and with a family that was already relatively health conscious, I could say, growing up. So for me, whenever I have a problem, I'm always trying to, maybe to a negative degree at sometimes, trying to figure out what is the origin of that issue, because there's always an origin, whether it be, muscle soreness because you worked out the day before and maybe you pushed yourself too hard, to the issues I described having. And for me, trying all the things that I tried was a form of experimentation. And it's, at the time I was also starting the company and having all these conversations with people about all the trial and error that they experienced in their journeys related to intestinal health. And there I found myself essentially going through the same thing. And the connection between diet and the symptoms I was experiencing was just another experiment. I tried every type of, topical, consumable, and even lifestyle adjustment tool that I could think of. And it brought me to the point where I felt like I had tried everything. I've already tried to eliminate a lot of the potential dietary triggers that could be causing problems, anything that had any possibility of triggering some type of inflammation and so on was cut out. And funny enough, the thing that worked for me was fasting. I decided to fast, and I ended up fasting for 5 days as a water fast. And I pretty much felt better by day three than I had in at least 2 months before. I was able to sleep through the night and all these different things. And I decided to extend it a little bit longer to 5 days, and then afterwards slowly begin to introduce foods to see once again, is there a dietary trigger? Ultimately, it turned out there was no dietary trigger. I could never find the trigger. But what I did figure out was that fasting seemed to put a brake on the inflammation cycle that was going on in my body. And since then, I haven't had this issue before. But the key to this and what I'm saying is not fast. Right. That's not at all the recommendation here. The recommendation is figuring out what works for you. And that's very big when it comes to what we work on at Enjoy, because personalization is key to it. Every single body is different. People have different symptoms. They have different microbiomes. They have different medical history, sex, gender, weight, all these different things. And telling people that there's a single protocol they can follow to feel better isn't necessarily authentic, and in many cases might not work. And that dissatisfaction is one of the big areas of focus that we provide, where we're trying to understand your whole health. We don't just look at the microbiome, we look at the symptoms you're experiencing, we look at your diet, and we use this to provide a to create a relatively comprehensive picture of your well-being and use that for recommendations. So really trying to understand in the same way that I had to understand what you need at what point in time to begin feeling your better self.
And I really appreciate how the personalization aspect. On this podcast, we talk a lot about people are often searching for a one size fits all. They want a magic, the silver bullet or a magic wand. And oftentimes in health, I would often extend it to life, but let's just stick with health, that it is very personal and it does need a sense of discovery and experimentation with a good focus. You obviously did a lot of heavy lifting in the early days, and now you're simplifying it for others that are coming after you so that they can get a little bit of a leg up on that. Talk a little bit about how our listeners can tell if their gut microbiomes are happy and healthy.
Definitely, definitely. I think the first thing to comment on with that is that one of our big goals is to reduce the time between any type of discomfort and relief. The more that we can really make that gap between, oh, I think an issue is happening, or an issue is certainly happening, to feeling stable and confident and empowered is our top goal. And the best way to do that is obviously understanding what your body's trying to tell you. And in a lot of ways, we try and think about ourselves as translators, because really we're just trying to interpret the signals coming from your own personal physiology. So when it comes to trying to understand how our microbiome is, if it's happy, if it's healthy, there are definitely several ways to monitor microbiome and overall gut health. And I think the easiest way is just starting with gut health generally. So one of the top ways is certainly going to be looking at symptomatic improvement. Typically, in medical terms, patient-reported outcome measures, different sets of essentially questionnaires where we can understand how are certain symptoms such as abdominal pain, bloating, bowel movement frequency, urgency to go to the bathroom, and so on, are changing over time. That's certainly kind of the baseline for medical practice. We ask those questions in our app, again, to make sure it's relevant for our practitioners we work with, but also to set a baseline. On top of that, there are a lot of personal health indications, right? In the same way that I noticed I was having skin problems, I was having mood problems, I was having a lot of different reactions that, you know, maybe someone who's you know, not this group that's here might not recognize that there could be a gut connection. Those personal health indications are always another step. The other element is, of course, testing. And for us, testing is not something that occurs once. The microbiome is a quite dynamic beast that we share our bodies with. You know, the way it looks one day is not how it's going to look the next day. And that's dependent on so many factors, from what we're eating, our environment, our stress, our sleep, all these different things. So what we've developed is a modality that allows us to see how the microbiome is changing over time through multiple samples. So for example, we'll ask you to take a sample one day, a sample 5 days later, a sample 5 days later. That in itself is flexible. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, we'll be asking you to track in our app. So let us know about symptoms you're experiencing. Take pictures of your food so we have an idea of what you're eating, and let us know about your mood and your sleep and your exercise too, because those are relevant. And it's really by having that data, whether it be symptomatic or microbiome based, that allows us to then make comparisons to validated consortiums of data, where we can start to make connections between how your microbiome looks, how your overall profile looks, to others who have been validated and diagnosed with the microbiome data, so we can see how you fit into the spectrum of health and disease.
But say a little bit more about for our listeners what you mean by validated results.
Certainly. So there are several databases out there. There's databases that we've created ourselves where we know without any type of confusion that this individual has this condition. Let's say they have Crohn's disease. At that time, they were experiencing an active flare and their microbiome was profiled. So we know to an extent what the microbiome should look like when someone has active inflammation with Crohn's disease. So imagine you multiply that by a much larger group of people. So you start to get some variability and you can see how, you know, this will change slightly from person to person, but at an overall level, there are some signatures you can pull out. That is what essentially becomes a reference database for us to then compare samples we're receiving to. So we can start to see how similar does your gut look like compared to someone with Crohn's or someone with some type of active inflammation, and use that to essentially build your health profile.
And then you would presumably have some measure for what a healthier gut, or you would just determine by symptoms going away that things are good.
So you can do it in multiple ways. In our report, we'll let you know your symptomatic status. We can give you personalized recommendations on how to improve those symptoms. And all of our recommendations are coming from peer-reviewed literature and validated by our team. And then on the microbiome side, we can do things similar. And just to say, you know, I'm not naive to the fact that the microbiome is still an active area of research, right? So one of the major things that we do is that, again, we're not just looking at the microbiome. We really pride ourselves in clearly labeling claims that we're confident in, where there's evidence supported, as well as claims that are more anecdotal and providing you confidence scores for those things. And then, of course, also taking in the dietary, the lifestyle, the symptomatic, and PRO information. So we are able to make recommendations for all those different areas of health: dietary recommendations, microbiome-focused recommendations, supplement-focused recommendations, and prioritize them in a way so essentially you know what direction to go in. We don't optimize our report in a way that we're trying to improve a single bacteria or one or two bacteria, because that's just honestly not how the science works. You know, you eat one thing, it's not going to impact one bacteria. I wish it was that simple. You know, your job would be a lot easier if that was the case, but it's not. So essentially how our model works is that we're able to almost create a virtual example of your microbiome, feed it different foods, understanding from the literature how those foods will affect different consortia of bacteria. And then through that simulation, understand which foods for your specific microbiome are going to provide you the best benefit overall, with this intention of getting you to a more positive state of your microbiome and away from a dysbiosis should it be present.
Right. Shabnam, how do you think about the gut as a clinician?
Oh, good Lord. There's so many things to talk about. And Luca, you shared some, thank you for sharing your story. And I can't even imagine what you must have gone through. I mean, having to handle all of that and going to doctors and not getting the kind of help. As a functional medicine doctor, actually, one of the first things we look at is gut health. And obviously, if a person comes to me, they have a problem. And whether they have a problem of anxiety, low mood, low energy, fatigue, you know, we always start with the gut, because without a healthy working gut, nothing else will really, change in a meaningful way. Yes, we can add, of course, we need pharmaceuticals for a lot of the things, but for some of the things that, you know, Luca, you mentioned about fasting. So fasting and inflammation, and as you pointed out, you know, you talked about inflammation. So the immune system is intimately related to every disease on earth, whether we talk about cancer, whether we talk about, you know, mood issues, whether it is dementia, whether it is heart disease, stroke, anything you name, whether it is conditions like IBD, like inflammatory bowel disease, or any other autoimmune condition, everything is related to the immune system, and the gut is intimately related to the immune system. And this is something we sometimes, you know, people talk about immune boosting, whereas we talk about building immune resilience. So as a clinician, Andrea, I laughed when you said people don't like to talk about you know, the gut, yeah, gut health and poop. And for a clinician,
yeah, let's just say it out there, you know, yeah, let's just put it out there for everyone.
Important. For us, it's like extremely important. I was an OBGY. So back in the days, you know, after a surgery, next morning, first thing you would ask is, you know, did you pass flatus? Did you pass, you know, how are your bowel habits? If they said those were fine, we would be very happy. So anyway, going back to, for us, it's like, oh, that's our everyday life. So going back to, you know, gut health, and Luca has already mentioned everything. One is symptoms. One is gut symptoms. And another thing that a lot of people, including doctors, sometimes are not aware. Luca, you mentioned all these allergies and skin problems. Those are intimately related to the gut, because if you, like, we forget something, that our bodies are interconnected. Like, the skin did not get the memo that it's not connected to the gut. If you track, if you put a finger across from your skin and, you know, you track it right to your mouth, it is connected. And what happens is, because, you know, medicine has become so siloed, like we forget that they are all network of networks. So going to what is a healthy gut, Luca has already defined it. One is symptoms. Besides gut symptoms, other things we look at is autoimmune conditions, and also what kind of, you know, prescription medications people are on. Besides antibiotics, whole lot of, you know, other medications have an impact on the gut microbiome as well. And more importantly, a gut microbiome also decides how effective certain medications are. And as a women's doctor and a former OBGY, one major area that we look at always is in terms of hormone therapy. So if a woman doesn't have a healthy gut, if she has constipation, she is sort of recirculating all the estrogen back into her system, and that can raise her risk for breast cancer. Now, nobody thinks of, gut health and breast cancer usually. So, and look, what you brought up is very, important, that people have really unusual expectations that they are just going to do a test and one test is going to tell them everything. And thank you for pointing that out. No, but what you're doing is very interesting. So when you said that you kind of, your company does these tests where they look at whether this particular, food or supplement or anything is going to work better than the other, is it like, do you create something like a digital twin, so to say?
Yeah, I don't tend to use the phrasing digital twin, just because I feel like
we are not there yet.
Everyone's a little obsessed with it, but essentially what we do is we do create a simulation using your gut data. Mm-hmm. So it is essentially a way for us to virtually test out different foods, different supplements, and see how they'll impact your microbiome based on the database of literature that we've trained our model on. So you can think of it as us creating a very virtual version of you, testing it, and then using essentially your data, your virtual self, as a means to provide recommendations. It's a little technical, but it is all deeply personalized. We've not created a system where, okay, you look a little bit like this, you get protocol A. You look like this, you get protocol B. You look like this, you get protocol C. Everybody's results are going to be unique to them. Some of the foods, of course, will overlap, but there is no set protocol for a specific type of profile.
And I think that's what people are really, really needing in order to see results. Am I right?
I think the tough thing, and we certainly get a lot of people who come to us with this type of perspective when it comes to health, is that a lot of us are disconnected from our bodies, right? We have a lot of stress. We're eating processed foods. There's environmental hazards, all these different things. And we just don't have the time to check in with our bodies, which is a huge, huge problem, considering, Shabnam, everything you said, that our gut health is everything. It's mental health, it's immune system, it's digestion, it's skin, it's weight, all these different things. And because of that, there is this huge movement where people think, okay, I don't have time. I'm going to look up the best supplements that I can take. If I take these 30 supplements, everything in my life is going to go better. And this is before they've even considered the fundamentals of, good sleep, good diet, exercise, and they find themselves failing. They're not feeling better. They're doing everything right to be healthy, but they're not feeling healthy. And in many cases, they're spending a ton of money on something that's never working. So I get a lot of people where I might talk to them about their results, and we walk through it, and then they'll bring me, a bucket of all the supplements they're taking. I'm like, okay, let's start with, the baseline most important things, because frankly, if you're not thinking about your diet, your sleep, your exercise, being an oversimplification, every supplement in the world is not going to make a difference. Yeah. You have to start with that.
People would rather take a supplement than get 8 hours of deep quality sleep.
Oh yeah, of course. And some people, even to get that sleep, will take supplements, right? They'll take, I can't tell you how many conversations I've had about melatonin where it's not something that you can just keep taking more and more of and expect it to make you sleep better. It actually has the completely opposite effect, from a dose response perspective. If you take too much, it actually makes your sleep worse. And I can't tell you how many shocked faces I've seen after telling someone that type of information. But I think a lot of people have an interest. I think culturally, everyone is aware of intestinal health and gut health as something that's important. But unfortunately, a lot of people are misguided, and I don't blame them at all. There is so much poor information out there. And that's why, one of the big things that we do as well is have a big focus on education. You can ask our app anything. You'll get responses only from our database of literature, peer-reviewed literature, so you can trust the source it's coming from. and feel confident in the information you're receiving. And ultimately, you know, will also help you build better habits, will help you find a protocol to feel better, all these different things in tandem with your practitioner. But it starts with good information.
Exactly. And I think that's so important. Now, you know, so many people really, you know, we talk about they'd rather take a supplement than sleep, but also people would rather take a supplement than think about what they eat and track their what the diet. And by diet, I think we're both talking about diet, meaning the foods we are eating, not diet as in not doing this or not doing that, just what we're eating, what we're not eating. Is diet tracking that important?
Yeah, certainly. I mean, when it comes to recognizing patterns, you know, over 1 or 2 days, we can maybe recognize a pattern. You know, we can see something. We know I ate this meal last night at this restaurant. Today, I feel this way. I can assume it's because of that meal I had at that restaurant, not in my own home. But when we start to look at timescales longer than this, we very, very, very quickly start to lose all the fine details. Right. And another big piece is that we also tend to forget and subconsciously become very accustomed to habits, which over time might become our new regular, which, you know, this is something that we confront a lot with the people we work with, because, you know, they've been dealing with a chronic health issue. You know, for example, this is the example I give time and time again. You know, you hear this adage, an apple a day keeps the doctor away. So everyone's trying to eat all these apples. And don't realize that, you know, apples are a FODMAP food, and, you know, there's products inside of the skin of these apples that could be causing their bloating. It could be one of the big things that's impacting symptoms they're experiencing on a daily basis, but they'd never consider it, right? Because an apple is healthy.
Apples are healthy. What could go wrong with an apple? They're
what
not
could
even
go wrong with an apple, right? So it's those patterns. It's one thing to recognize a pattern, and it's one thing to recognize items that people might not initially even think could be the culprit. And by tracking your diet consistently, by tracking your symptoms consistently, for example, through our app, we're able to make those connections, and not based on one occurrence, right? We're able to say, okay, we notice when you eat apples, it seems like symptoms are a little bit higher. Let's flag this as a potential trigger and keep monitoring it. And over time, we can have more confidence in that association, based on, again, what you're eating and what you're tracking. So consistent tracking is definitely the first step. And then where we come in is having a system to identify any issues is next. Because whether that be someone who is a dedicated practitioner you have, which some might not have access to on the consistent basis, or it's us, it all just becomes with having a consistent understanding of what you're putting into your body and how it's making you feel. And, you know, as mentioned before, this becomes all the more important in the context of chronic disease, because what we're trying to do is identify signatures before they become truly problematic, for example.
And it sounds like your tracking is more photo of the food. It's not like someone has to sit down with their meal and go, I had half an ounce of almond milk and you know, 3/4 of an apple and, you know, a half a pound of spinach cooked, right?
Yeah. I mean, listen, I would love if we had that specific information. Yeah. I mean, it would be incredible to work with. But the truth is nobody's going to do that, or they might do that for a day or two. And then they say, forget it and give up completely, which is what we don't want. Right. So trying to have a balance between the simplicity of tracking information. For example, in our app, you just take a picture of your food. The simplicity of tracking your symptoms. We don't ask you to track every day. We only ask you to let us know if something has changed, because it's those changes that are really critical. So you don't need to tell us zero every day for bloating if you're never experiencing bloating, for example. Right. The easier we can make it for you to track is critical. But on top of that, the volume of value you receive in return for any tracking you do has to far, 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 you know, exceed the effort to get there, because otherwise nobody's going to do it. So consistency really comes from the experience you're building, especially when it comes to diet tracking and building a lasting habit. Honestly, we want this to be something people can stick with, and meeting them at a realistic point where we don't expect you to track everything. We don't expect you to, you know, tell us how much salt was in your meal or anything like that. We can make some assumptions, But having a minimum level of tracking to understand is always going to be important.
Yeah, sounds very, very easy for anyone who's working with you. You know, relationships with food can be very tricky. And, you know, I'm going to raise my hand here because in the past, I have had a tricky relationship with food, and I often see people that are having, you know, food can be, have a lot of emotion in it, have a lot of resonance with feelings. How can people build a better relationship with food? Because I think that seems integral to what you're working on here.
Yeah, certainly. It's an excellent question, and one that I think is a lot more complicated than most people realize. And I think one of the most important things we can do is be kinder to ourselves, honestly. Being aware that change takes time, and incremental change is still change. You know, we don't want someone to use our app or take our test or, you know, use our bathroom sensor, any of these types of things, and feel like, okay, tomorrow I have to change every single thing. I have to change everything in my cabinet, everything in my fridge, my lifestyle, and so on, because that's going to be so stressful and cause so much anxiety that you're probably going to just revert back to your old ways. So I think incremental change is definitely a very important way to build better relationships with foods, because otherwise it's what we see with a lot of diets. You know, there's a lot of anxiety when people are dieting, which we don't really prescribe to. But you know, trying to make sure I'm eating only the right things and not eating anything else, that anxiety is also not good. You know,
yeah.
So if you're so stressed out, if you're stressed out about every single thing you're eating, but you're technically on paper eating the right things, you know, that's still a problem. You know, we don't want to be insanely stressed out. And you know, that goes back to, you know, you can't just focus on one narrow area of health. You know, health is comprehensive. It's so many different things. But I would say incremental change, reducing a lot of anxiety around, you know, always having to be perfect with your diet, being too hard on yourselves and jumping in too quickly are all things that I think are important to be aware of to allow for sustainable change, especially when it comes to diet and especially when it comes to gut health, because in a lot of cases, you know, fiber comes into conversation. And if you're not someone who's accustomed to fiber, whether it be, you know, soluble, insoluble, through a supplement, through your diet, whatever it might be, you know, bulking up on the amount of fiber eating one day is probably going to cause you a lot of discomfort. So even at a systematic level, you want to make sure you're slowly making these changes.
Exactly. And I think we often talk as behavior design experts and tiny habits coaches that the way to sustainable change is through success, right? Mm-hmm. And even changing one small aspect can change your trajectory, because change can lead to change and success can lead to success. So I think that's one of the reasons we wanted to highlight you today. Shabnam, I want to go to you for some last thoughts, and then I'm going to come back to you, Luca, so that you can share some final thoughts on where people can find you and your test. And go from there. Shabnam?
Thanks, Andrea and Luca. It's such an interesting conversation. So, Luca, you brought up something very important about food tracking. And, you know, back in the days before I was trained in tiny habits and behavior design, I would, like, insist that my patients write down or put it on an Excel spreadsheet. And as you said, you know, after a first few days, when their motivation is very high, they can do a lot of things. After some time, it kind of falls by the wayside. And of course, the more they track, the more insight they get themselves. Like, they don't have to wait for me to tell them sometimes. And sometimes, you know, asking this question, what do you think helped you and what do you think got in the way? That can be so insightful. And sometimes, you know, people don't think of it like that. Like, they don't connect the you know, they have been off of gluten for a long time, and suddenly they had a, you know, gluten cake because it was their friend's birthday and friend's mother had made it and she said it was very good and this and that. And then 3 days later she says, oh, I'm feeling so sick and this. I said, okay, what did you have? You know, then she realizes, oh, that was the gluten I wasn't supposed to have. So it's not everybody is very focused on, as you said, you know, is not, and of course that is not how life should be. I mean, your health and gut and that should not be the main focus of life, unless of course you're dealing with something very serious. So that is, you know, food tracking. And again, in the you know, in behavior design and tiny habits world, we say that one of the biggest ways in which we can change our habits is through changing the environment. So if we change our food environment, let us say I'm highly motivated, I have gazillions of symptoms, I'm not sleeping well, and I'm just, you know, I'm just 20, 30 years old, and I feel horrible because I feel so horrible. And that is a person who is ready to make major changes, then that is probably the time to, you know, change the entire pantry, get rid of all the stuff you should, you know, which are out of plan. And in our, you know, in my world, Andrea and I on our podcast, we always make it a point not to use the term diet, because we are not going to be on a diet for our whole life. We eat food, right? So it depends on, and if a person is really overwhelmed, what you said is, you know, start with maybe the first meal of the day instead of changing all your meals at the same time, if that is overwhelming. So this is a piece, I think, where Andrea and I are very hopeful that behavior change and behavior design techniques can help a lot in changing people's behavior long term. And Andrea, as you mentioned, you know, success makes you, small successes add up to getting the bigger successes, and small successes actually increase our motivation to do more difficult stuff. So one last question, Luca, to you is, you say that Enjoy uses AI. So where exactly, which are the areas in which you use AI specifically?
So everywhere, essentially. We wouldn't be able to assess the microbiome without using some level of machine learning. There's just too many bacteria, too many associations, too many different calculations to make, that even if, you know, you look at genetic data, all these different things, it becomes very, very complicated task for a human to do. As opposed to, you know, a blood test where you're measuring a specific marker and you know what you're searching for, the microbiome works a little bit differently, right? We're taking a stool sample, we're extracting its DNA, and we have an understanding once it's sequenced of what DNA is there. But then now we have to figure out what that DNA is and essentially map it to a database to understand which bacteria are present. And that task is not something that can be done with a pen and paper. So microbiome analysis has to use machine learning by design. And a similar idea also happens in all the tracking we do. You know, taking a picture of food and us identifying not only what food is there, but making an estimation of the quantity, that's image recognition. You know, that's AI. Yeah. Being able to identify relationships over extended periods of time, such as between symptoms and food triggers, that's artificial intelligence. And even down to, you know, something that we're trying to work more and more on, and you know, something you mentioned that's extremely important, Shabnam, is how can we inspire more motivation? You know, how do we make you feel motivated when you have that small success in the app? How do we make sure you feel motivated by giving you insights on the progress you're making? You know, here's how this symptom has changed since you started following this protocol, for example. Because it's important to make sure that motivation isn't only present when someone is sick or dealing with an active problem, but it also remains after the fact. Because without that, that means people are only going to be coming to us when they have a health issue, and we won't be able to monitor them when they're, you know, stable or healthy, and even predict the issue before it gets there. So making sure that consistency is happening and motivation to track and motivation to come to the app throughout their health journey, whether it's positive or negative, is extremely important. And AI is really the core competency that allows us to do that.
Mm-hmm. Fantastic. Can you, so I'm going to turn to you, Luca, for some final thoughts, and then please tell our listeners where they can find your app, where they can find you, so that they can take advantage of this and get their health in a better place.
Absolutely. Yeah, and thank you so much for having me on. It's great to speak to you both. And I think everything from the tiny habits conversation to behavior change, it's everything that we're focused on because health is not something acute. You know, this is something that you have to have consideration for over the course of your entire life. And I think when you're in the early stages of, let's say, trying to get healthy, that's very intimidating, but very quickly it just becomes part of your everyday routine, and these aren't things you're actively thinking about. So I definitely recommend everyone to just make sure that they take that first step, they be kind to themselves, they're not focused on perfection, because over time you will get there and you will figure out exactly what you need for your specific situation and for your specific health. And you know, the way we're doing that at Enjoy is by understanding again symptoms, diet, microbiome, building better habits through reminders to do all these things. And where you can find us is through our website. So www.enjoy, INJOY dot bio, BIO. As a reminder, Enjoy stands for intestinal joy, which is one of the feelings we want people to have when they work with us. And there you can find plenty of information about what we offer, who we are, as well as all the links to our social media.
Excellent. We're so grateful that you came on. You're sharing how people just really opening the conversation about the gut microbiome in a way that people can actually talk about it, wanting to empower those so they can talk about their poop and actually have better
Yes.
results in their life, right? And
Completely.
having a service where they can actually it sounds very well designed. I look forward to checking it out myself. And helping people live happier, healthier lives. So, to our listeners, please check out Luca and enjoy.bio. Thank you for listening. You can find this and all podcasts at drcarmd.com/podcasts. That's drcarmd.com/podcasts. Thanks again, Luca.
Thank
Thank you
you.
so much.